Welcome to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrian Cobb. Join me on a journey back home to your truest self in this inspiring, enlightening, and entertaining show. After a near-death experience in a car crash at 15 years old, I made a choice to stay and brought back with me three simple truths that I found from the other side. Love is all there is. Our time is over here quicker than we think. And we all have a purpose, a soul blueprint to fulfill. On this show, you will find a higher purpose, a creative expression, and unique soul attributes that you can bring forth into this world. Stay tuned with me for the next hour and find your higher purpose on My Wild Magic, starting now. Welcome, everyone. I'm Adrian, and you are listening to My Wild Magic with Adrian on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour for the live Unplugged and Defying Gravity show. And today, we're going to have Tiffany Harlick on with us today. I'm so happy to have her on and letting her kind of share her own intimate, inspiring true life stories with us and how she leaped into the wild abyss of the unknown, defying gravity, and took flight to fulfill her own soul blueprint. She is an astrologer, a medium, a publisher, a beekeeper, and just a darn good person. So, all right. So just kick back and relax as we journey through this energy here with her. And she's also, you know, stay tuned towards the end because Tiffany's going to go ahead and go over the October astrology forecast for us. So welcome, Tiffany, to My Wild Magic. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, cool. So, all right. So one of the things that you do that I'm super, super fascinated by is your bees. You are a beekeeper, kind of maybe a new beekeeper a little bit here. And you live out in Texas in the kind of like a little prairie land area. It looks pretty magical, actually. So what have you, like, on a soul level kind of learned from your bees?
You know, the bees are, there are so many interesting little pieces. If you're talking about a soul level, what the first thing I thought of was all of the sacred geometry that's associated with beekeeping is so fascinating. It's not just the honeycomb shape, but when they go on their little orientation flights, you know, not all of the maidens, not all of the workers will go forage, but the ones that are going to forage, when they take their orientation flights, they go out and they make a figure eight and they come back and they go out and they make a figure eight and they come and they do that three times bigger. When the queen is laying her eggs, when she lays a drone, when she lays a boy, it ignites the Fibonacci sequence, which I don't know enough about to talk about, but there are so many just kind of goosebumpy things as you get into the bees. You know, it's they are little temples of light. It's a very reverent place to be. And, you know, I guess one of the biggest things that I've learned from them that this last time I got into my hives was really about patience. You don't need to move fast. We are at the pace of nature. There's a sense of urgency isn't useful right here in the beehive. Yeah, right. And they're very efficient. You know, they are very efficient. They work with nature. And it's not so much like a team orientation as they are a super organism. And so they're part of the bee oversoul, right? So if you think about like dog having a dog oversoul that it's part of, the bees are each one of those are that. And they're just, they each have different personalities. The different hives take care of each other differently. They take care of their dead differently. They treat their queen, you know, with different mannerisms and things. And so it's a really fun hobby. And thank you for saying that I'm new, because I am new and I don't want to come across like a professional.
Well, I know one of the reasons I love bees so much is that when I lived in Atlanta, I found this beehive over in like a yard, and it just looked like, I have a bad habit of like, I guess, sort of stealing things in nature that maybe was somebody's. Anyway, so it was this beehive and it was across the street from me, and it was kind of in this like lot where no houses were, right? And I'm like, beehives, I love them. And I was working with one of my spiritual teachers at the time. time, Cynthia Rose Young. And I thought, oh my God, they've been abandoned and I just have to save them. You know how like you just got to go save something that doesn't really need to be saved. I mean, so I wrap them up in Saran wrap, take them over to Cynthia's house, unwrap them. And I was out there one day, you know, come, you know, winter happens and it turns out there were bees in there. So, you know, they kind of do their thing. And so one night I'm sitting out there. And I don't visually see things that often psychically, but I was sitting out there one night and I was moving slow. I was just sitting there meditating with them and trying to stay out of the path because they do have direct paths, you know, of what they go do. And all of a sudden, off in the distance, probably 50 feet away from me, this beautiful Deva being was standing there just sort of like an overlighting soul, like you said, like an overlighting presence. And she was tall and regal and she had like a hive type head and this long flowing energy that was like a beehive. It was so cool. I'll never forget it. It was just so amazing. And they do just the overlighting presence. They say actually that bees are a gift from Venus.
I love that.
Venus. Yeah. So yeah.
The bees, so you know, they have that temple of light energy in our area. Nature, like the nature kingdom, will congregate around them. And so I was walking the dog down there one day. I mean, you know, just close to it. And she went to smell a stick or something. She was like really into the stick. And the stick then like coiled back and started shaking its tail. And I thought, that's not a stick, right? And
wow.
So I was like so angry, right? Like, why is there a snake in my beehives? Like, are they going to mess it up? And what I later realized is all of nature likes the energy that it's producing there. And so, you know, it wasn't there to mess with it. It was just there energetically. And that's not the only visitor we have at the hives, right? So
yeah.
Now I have different kind of painted cinder blocks that I keep around them so that nobody can get in and knock them over.
That's really cool. Well, I just love it. And I just think that bees are like, to me, they're one of the best little beings on the entire planet. Because without them, we really do not have life ourselves, really. You know, the flowers, the food, I mean, everything depends on them. And I know they've had quite a plight, you know, with all the herbicides, pesticides. I know you recently had, you know, a little scenario with that too. We lost a bunch of them due to herbicides, pesticides. And it's sad. I mean, I read this article where people even steal huge beehives off of other people's semi trucks when they're trying to move them from locations. I mean, it's a very bizarre thing. Anyway,
well, so it is.
Send them love. Send the bees love.
I mean, and that you're absolutely right. Like that's why I got into beekeeping was okay. If we're going to be eating from our garden, then let's help the pollinators and you know, make it this really beautiful ecosystem out there. But that only, you know, the bees will fly 2 to 3 miles out and 2 to 3 miles back. So they could do 5 to 6 miles round trip. But so we can't keep them on our little place. So if they're going to forage something that has pesticides on it, then yeah, we run into big problems. So, really clear how some simple shifts, you know, some like using vinegar to do your weed killing or doing, you know, something a little bit more natural, has a huge effect on what goes into our soil and into our bees and into our pollinators and into the food that we're eating. So,
yeah, everything. Yeah. It's, I just read this whole article even on, with children, particularly in utero, getting incredibly sick, like the amount of pesticides, herbicides, and heavy metals coming into our system and then into utero is having a major effect on kids' health coming in already kind of pre-polluted in a sense, you know? So yeah, it's a lot. It's a big deal. So, well, that's the bee conversation. We're moving on from there now. So the other thing, because Tiffany's just such a variety of such a multidimensional being. So the next thing that Tiffany does that I was mentioning is she is a book publisher. She has a Sylvan Publishing and is super, super awesome with that. She has a number of books out herself. I have a couple of her books and she did a whole tour, which is one of my favorite things, of the food carts. And she did it in Portland, Seattle, Texas, like Austin, those three main cities?
Austin and Dallas and Houston, Columbus, and Portland was by far the king of them all.
Yeah, that's where I live. So I just love the food cart scene here. So. So she's done her own books on all kinds of cool things. And she is my publisher for my books as well. And so I was wondering, you know, because I have a lot of people who are clients and do sessions with me and they want to write books. And one of the things is, you know, if you were looking for the right publisher for you, what would you recommend for people looking for a publisher that is for them?
Well, there's two main ways to get published. One is traditionally with an agent, and the other is indie publishing. So either creating your own publishing label or working with somebody like Spellbound, who's an independent publisher. And so really what you want to do is find a book that's kind of like yours, that has similar goals or similar audiences, and see what they did, you know, see if the label that they're on might be taking queries and welcoming you. But the main thing is before that, just get the book written, right? Like that's where we get stuck so much, right? Like you want to, people writing books out there, those are the two main ways. And they each have a different, there's different goals, right? So if you're doing fiction, maybe you want to be something that's a little bit more traditional and mainstream that can get the word out better than maybe you and a smaller audience could. If you're doing nonfiction and you have a broader appeal, or if you're a teacher and you have, students and classes that are going to be buying your books, then something more indie might make more sense. You might make more sales that way. So I know that money isn't always the goal when we're writing a book. But sales are.
Yeah, and so yeah, sure.
You want to find the best home for your book.
Yeah, for sure. And then, what do you think about, you know, finding a publisher versus self-publishing? I know when I first started, I did self-publishing, and it was a great experience, you know what I mean? But at this point, I kind of just like being housed with your energy. But there's differences between people self-publishing and publishing.
Very much so. Yeah. So people that are self-publishing that are just DIY, I think the most important thing you can do is have a great cover, and then have a great editor and then follow the process. It is not easy. And so that's why I like being under somebody, at least for your first book, or if you just want the relief of not having to know the ins and outs or learn the ins and outs. Publishing, like social media, right? It's constantly evolving. There's new loops, mm-hmm. There's new things. And so you just want to, for me, it's like nice to be with somebody that has been there that can kind of take you under their wing and get you through the whole process. I don't think I answered your question. Sorry.
Well, you kind of suggested it. Yeah. I mean, basically it sounds like if you're first time out, there really is so many things to have to learn and do. Yeah. And it is nice to have somebody to kind of hold your hand and bring you through the ropes. And once you learn it, if you want to break out on your own, sure. But you might find that it's just easier to work with a publisher, and you create it's kind of a very personal relationship, I think, you find with a publisher, because you're dealing with a whole creative energy of like your book cover. And, it's interesting, like having to have a voice, like you have to say, I like this, I don't like that, I want this, I don't want that. I found that was one of the more challenging things for me, actually, is having to get more clear and communicate my preferences.
Like, it is so hard when it's yours.
It is.
About my work, it's nice to have a publisher or somebody in the industry that can say, let's try this one, or can bounce ideas off of you, or helps you see something that maybe you didn't see, and to give you options, really. So I totally agree. That relationship, you're really with people for a long time, for the life cycle of your book. So you do want to get that right. You do want to have what feels like a really open relationship, a helping hand, open communication, all of those things are going to be really important when you're trying to find the best publisher.
Yeah, definitely. And then, one of the things I've really liked about working with your company personally is that you don't put a lot of pressure. It's like you hold space, you're very galactic, so you can multitask and get a lot done. And you're like, here's the timeline, here's what we're doing. But I've never really felt a lot of pressure. I think some publishers also, that might trip people out a little bit if they feel just depending on your personality type, you know what I mean? And how you flow and stuff. So yeah, you got a nice balance within stuff. So, okay. Yeah. Pretty awesome on that. Anything else that you want to share about the name of your company?
Spellbound. I wrote 14 cookbooks and then I midwifed, I helped 200 other books come through. And so Spellbound to me is what we are is a boutique publisher focusing on metaphysical titles, mind, body, health, physical wellness, right? So Spellbound to me kind of brought that magical element in, and it's like you want a spellbinding book. You want something that's enchanting. And that's all. That's all. I redid the logo recently, and it's the winged cat. And it just came to me. So we switched the logo up. It's a winged Egyptian cat, and it feels just very interesting. And so anyways, I didn't know about it, but I then Googled it later and went to find that actually that was the flag and part of my lineage in Russia's community.
Wow. What a trip. Yeah. Yeah. So cool. And I be loving me some kitties. You know, I love some kitties. So that's awesome. Can't go wrong with that. The spirit sign. So yeah, that's awesome. That's a lot of books. That's a lot of people to be out there working with and stuff. So cool on that. I like that. So the other thing that Tiffany does is she is also a medium. She does intuitive work, mediumship. So can you tell us, well, actually back on the book title thing, can you give us your spellboundpublishing.com? If somebody was interested, how would they get in touch with you?
Okay. So it's spellboundpublishers.com. So that's the end.
Publishers.com. Okay, cool. Yeah. And then, so mediumship. Tell us a little bit, because that just goes in so many different directions. Do you talk with people who've crossed over? Do you talk with, you know, animal communication? Do you talk with people about their relationships, money? So on mediumship, what's kind of your honed in version of that?
Sure. My niche, so like you, I also had a near-death experience when I was 14. And I love your intro because you say I made a decision to come back. I didn't know I was gone. You know what I mean? So I didn't make a decision, but a nurse there said, breathe, right? So then that made my body breathe and I came back. And that was a very unique, you know, opening for me. And so for a long time, I really didn't understand what was happening or why I could hear things or see things that other people couldn't. So I worked really hard to develop that skill. I studied with a lot of the British mediums. And so where I have landed is really with evidential mediumship, when we're talking specifically with either a soul that has crossed over that you know, so that we're going to be able to bring validation to you. My favorite part of mediumship. Okay. So first of all, it's really beautiful to work with somebody through the grieving process, to help them see that life after death is a beautiful experience, that their loved ones are well. There's a sense of relief that comes, you know, that 20 years of therapy couldn't give you, right? When you get that.
That is so true. So true. You know?
Yeah. But what really gets me excited is working with some of our law enforcement with missing persons. Mm. And so I have had the opportunity to do that a couple of times. And I just would love to bridge the gap between the law enforcement agencies and the psychic world, because right now it's just muddy and weird, and it doesn't have to be. It can be very useful. It's kind of like when you get hurt, you do all the things and then you go to the chiropractor. It's like the last thing that you do. But if it would have been the first thing you did, you would have been great, you know? And I feel like my mediumship is that way too. Like we can do all these things and then you call the medium. Well, if you'd called them in the beginning, we might have had a chance, right?
Yeah, right. A little bit easier. Yeah. And gosh, I'm blanking on the name of it right now, but it's when you tune into something at a distance. The military kind of does it. Remote viewing. Thank you so much. Yeah. Fascinated by the remote viewing. And it just seems as though presenting it to the police, you know, way, just because so much of governments do that and CIA, it's kind of a little bit more accepted actually as that way of saying it. But have you presented that to them of, I do remote viewing? I mean, do you do remote viewing? Because kind of intuitive work does that a lot without knowing it.
Well, no, I think that's a really good way to phrase it. So I'm going to take your advice there.
Okay, great. That's what I was hoping. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Russell Targ wrote an amazing book on remote viewing. It is the book on remote viewing. He helped start the Stanford Research Institute. Mm-hmm. And he actually used cops. He worked with cops in the beginning, like you're talking about. So it's not unusual. It's just not often the first thing that is used. So I would love to help make it a little bit more mainstream or just be useful, you know?
Well, I definitely think crossing over and just say I do remote viewing, because I mean, I think the psychic, anything to do with like the word psychic seems to spook people, especially, I don't know, older white men and police force. I don't know, not to be racist or anything, but you know, there is a certain like kind of patriarchal sort of way of coming at things if I know stuff, and anything that gets into more of the female archetype of witchery in a sense, right, and psychic stuff falls in that category is I think just automatically taboo. But when you say, well, the military does it, all of a sudden it seems like that industry, which probably is mostly, you know, male, you know, might be a little more open to, you know, get on it with your, you know, military folks with they're doing it.
I like
starting
that.
Wars. Yay. You know? So, anyway, yeah. So being able to help people. So I'd imagine it's kind of rewarding helping people, you know, cause it's so I've had quite a few clients who have had unresolved things of missing people, and it's kind of tragic, but it just leaves such a wondering about your loved one.
And so I'm glad you brought that up, because when you're connecting with a medium, my style is evidential. So I want to make sure that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've got your loved one with me, that I'm not just coming up with some story that may or may not apply to some missing thing that nobody's ever going to know. That's not what we're after at all. I want to have really specific pieces of evidence. Did I tell you the sand dollar story lately?
No.
Okay. So this is one of my most recent, like, whoa, like I cry every single mediumship session I do. It's just, it blows me away, the emotional intelligence of spirit. But I had a client whose sister I had read for before. And so I was really intimidated because she also wanted to hear from her dad. And I wasn't sure if I could get it the second time. You know, I was just getting really nervous. Like there was an expectation there. And so I went through and I gave her lots of evidence. You know, he's showing me that he was driving an old car and you guys were listening to music. And she said, yes, we used to do that. And we went on, and I gave three or four other pieces of evidence so that she knew that I had her dad. But I also knew that she was getting married. And I said, now he's telling me that he's going to be walking you down the aisle, and I'm going to give you one piece of evidence that, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your dad absolutely said that I did not make that up. And then I'm going, and I'm like, okay, so I see a sand dollar. I said, how do you relate to sand dollar? What does a sand dollar mean to you? And she starts crying, and I'm crying, and I don't know why we're crying. And she said, you know, I cleaned the fireplace out. We don't live by the shore. We don't live by the ocean. We had a fire pit, and I was cleaning it out last night, and she found a whole sand dollar in the fire pit. Like,
oh.
You know,
whoa.
And like the night before. And so that's the kind of evidence that I hope to provide for people in sessions, and that anybody under wise skies would be able to provide that level of clarity. We really don't want any vagueness. We really want specific information, names, the way they passed, what happened at their funeral, what kind of life, beautiful life they led. And then we want to go on into what is spirit life like for them? What has changed? And those are just some really beautiful healing moments.
Yeah, I do find that I know for me, you know, I'm almost like I'm devastated if somebody dies, like I have a really big issue with it, right? But then I remember that, wow, they're at peace. They don't have to, like, I don't have to worry about them anymore in a way. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a big deal just knowing that somebody's on the other side, that they're okay. And, you know, sometimes even when there is a tragedy, I think that sometimes people do have judgments on suicide is a big one. You know, and that's been just kind of taboo with church and religions and all that. But, you know, sometimes there's just a time that people are ready to go, however they choose to do it. Or even if something really horrible happens, whether it's an accident or a slow illness or they've been murdered or whatever, there's so many ways that people die, right? But who are we to say, really? I mean, yeah. And the minute I just hear that hey, they're okay. Even my pets, you know, if there's something with my pets, I'm like, yes. I need to know they're okay.
Yes.
If they're okay, I will handle it. I just need to know that they're okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Pets are a big one. I often invalidate information by telling you, okay, there was like a small white dog at the time of their crossing. So I can often validate by telling you which pets were already crossed over greeting your loved
one. Oh, God, so sweet. That just, sweet. That just so beautiful. It's going to make me cry right now. And then we'll be crying and we don't know why we're crying. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. So I'm Adrian Cobb. You're listening to My Wild Magic with Adrian, and we're going to be back in just a moment with Tiffany Harlick, our guest here, who is multidimensional in many different ways, and she's going to be letting us know what we need to know about October. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Your inspiration all day on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
We'd love to hear from you on Transformation Talk Radio and live on Facebook. Call into the show, 1-800-930-2819.
Welcome. I'm Adrian Cobb, and we're back on with My Wild Magic with Adrian. So my guest today here is Tiffany Harlick. She is owner of the Wise Skies Collective. She does astrology, mediumship, beekeeping. She also owns SpellboundPublishers.com if you're looking to bring a book into the world. And she's here talking with us today about what we need to know about rolling into October this month and seeing what's up, what we need to be aware of to be able to do this with ease and grace. But before we continue, Tiffany, can you let people know how to contact you through Wise Skies, which is her mediumship and astrology, or Spellbound?
Yes, sure. So Spellbound, you nailed it. SpellboundPublishers.com. I'm Tiffany at SpellboundPublishers.com. I'm the lead publisher there, and I will absolutely guide you all the way through. And Wise Skies is WiseSkiesCollective.com. Wise Guys is a metaphysical counseling company that offers different sessions and all the fun things. And I have my own niches, but there are other readers and intuitives there as well, teaching classes or doing sessions. And so I love mediumship, and astrology is really where the company is anchored. So that's where the company got its start. And that's what, just one of my favorite things to do is to talk about the astrology, pull some tarot cards and see what the energies have for the month ahead.
So, yeah. And she also has a YouTube station, which is
Wise Guys.
Yeah, Wise Guys Collective. So, yeah, she has a YouTube station too. And every Friday, if you go on to YouTube or whatever, I subscribe to her. So it just shows up automatically in my feed. And she does your astrology. She does astrology for all the different signs, like a little quick, snapshot of it. And I'm Aries. So I'm first because I'm impatient. So thank God I'm not Pisces. So that really works for me, actually, to start out my Fridays with your subscribe and like for your YouTube thing there. Yeah. So curious with astrology, because you just have all these different cool things. How did you get into astrology? What draw you to it?
Yeah. I was riding horses one day, and I got off of my horse and I came into town, into Austin, downtown Austin. And there was, I was just like looking around this metaphysical bookstore in my breeches. I wasn't planning on getting into astrology. And there was a class going on. So I signed up and I made some lifelong friends. The teacher was teaching slowly, like one planet a class. I think right now, this was 20 years ago, right? So this was 1999, 2000-ish, 2001. And so right now we talk about the planets, like we give a quick sentence and we move on. But he was really going deep for hours on one planet. Oh. So I really got to absorb and learn from one of the living masters. I just kind of tripped into it. I'm so glad I did, because once I got a natal reading, it made me feel, it's just like your soul blueprint readings. Like it was okay to be me. It was like okay to be multidimensional. It was okay to have a lot going on. It was okay to just sink into my bones, because there was a rhythm, there was a script for it. So that's how I fell in love with astrology, was just through the natal chart, through the classes. And then from there, you start learning how to make predictions. And so you're not really pretending the future, but you're able to look at the planets just like you're able, like a meteorologist would be able to look at the weather. And that part fascinated me too, because I love gardening and beekeeping and all of that. I'm like, what is the astrological weather? What are the winds of change? Why is there such a sense of urgency and frustration? You know what I mean? Or why are there lots of emotions? Or why am I feeling void? Often the astrology forecast was an answer for me through a lot of different, peaks and valleys in life.
So what's your astrology? What is your sign?
I'm Scorpio.
Scorpio. Yeah. Cool.
I have both planets in Scorpio in the 12th house. And if you don't know that about yourself and you're going through life with four planets in Scorpio in the 12th house, and you're wondering why things are so intense turns out to be a great medium. You know what I mean? The astrology can help you just be okay with your own nature,
Well, and I know that sometimes when I'm doing readings for people, like in the way that you use astrology to kind of forecast the energy, for me, when I'm doing readings with people, it's the nervous system. The nervous system is very predictable unless you interrupt it, unless you're going to give it new information, right? And so every once in a while, when I'm doing readings for people, you can feel their astrology is affecting them. Like I'll be going along in the reading, I'm like, yeah, you could probably even see this astrologically right now. If you got your chart done, you could see where your astrology is actually pushing you in the direction of your life purpose, helping you to, move through this relationship issue, or why it's affecting your finances. So for you, what's one of your, how it affects people's life, but what's one of your favorite things about astrology?
There's like the astrology forecast, and then there's the astrology forecast as it affects you. And so it's two very different things. There's the weather out there, and then there's the weather as it relates to you personally. So helping people navigate that, letting them see what's on the horizon. I have a lot of people that are either interested in looking at transits for their businesses, like when is the best time to write a book? When is the best time to launch a campaign. When is the best time to get married? You know, when is the best time for some kind of election activity, right? An elective activity. So that can be a fun way to work with the astrology. Just knowing the moon cycle, knowing the new moon and the full moon, knowing that we're such a small part in such a big like landscape of time. And, you know, somebody told me the wisest thing. She was like, time is that thing that's not real, that we're all controlled by. And I'm like, yeah. And that's how astrology was taught to me. It was like, it's a big clock in the sky, right? And so there are different archetypes and different teachers, and they affect us differently. So I just enjoy, you know, studying human nature, studying human potential, and helping people really have those breakthrough moments. That huge sigh of relief, that like shoulder dropping sigh of relief, and just helping them with their own goals through their unique timelines.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about astrology is when things aren't going well, I just blame it on the astrology.
Right.
It's like my blaming thing. I'm like, ah, oh, that's just gotta be the astrology on that level. And then, do you know much about Vedic astrology? Like the difference between the Vedic and the, like kind of the Western astrology, and also, I guess, the Chinese also. It's like there's three different systems here all happening. What do you think about?
Man,
all three ancient systems that date back 5,000 years. What can you tell me about that?
Right. Well, I think that
synopsis, of course.
Yeah. So I studied Western astrology, and maybe 12 years into it, I had a Vedic reading and it blew my mind.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
You know, and I was like, no, I'm doing it wrong. I'm going to have to restudy this whole situation. And fortunately, I had an older female Scorpio. I always recommend you have a mentor that is like you astrologically, that has kind of walked your step. But she said, Tiffany, you were born in Texas. It's okay to practice Western astrology. Next time you can be born in India, you can practice Vedic astrology. She said, what you're doing is valid and it's helpful for people. So don't abandon it. But what I can tell you, about the differences, somehow it all makes sense. Like if you get into human design, if you get into I Ching, if you get into nine star key, if you get into Buddhism or Hinduism or any of the ancient philosophies and cultures, what are we really all doing? We're looking up for help. You know what I mean? We're like trying to get a sense of what's going on in here. And that all of them are describing that relationship as above, so below, as below, so above, that relationship between the sky and the earth. And so, you know, you're going to be naturally attracted to a certain style, right? Your nature is going to be more interested in Spanish versus Portuguese, right? Like you're going to naturally just pick one. Now you can dabble in all of them. And I like to dabble in all of them. And that's why Wise Skies has so many different options. But you know, where is the intersection? I think it's just that human interest in our potential and our purpose, and the ability to look up and say help, you know, or what, you know, or anything that like that.
Which is super appropriate because I mean, even when you get into the indigenous cultures, they're looking up, they're talking about the stars, and a lot of their pictographs, they, you know, they say, hey, we're coming from the stars. We've got these star energies that have come down. And a lot of the work, even with Greg Braden, has a lot of evidence about how we are star seated here on the planet. And, you know, so these star systems, you know, all the ascended masters and the great, you know, living or ascended masters and teachers all bring astrology into play, that it does have its own, like you said, in every culture around the world and all the indigenous cultures, it all kind of comes back. Yeah.
So you were talking about the stars, and I remembered this dream that I had. Can I tell you about it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it was so weird because two friends and I all had a similar experience the same night. They didn't know each other. So I was the common denominator, but I had my kiddo with me sleeping, and she starts speaking in this weird language, and she's this like cute little blonde thing, and I'm scared to death, you know. I'm like, and I wake up, and I somehow like went back to sleep, which is not like me. I like normally I'd be like up all night waiting for something. And I went back to sleep and I dreamt immediately. And I was looking up at the stars, and my daughter said in my dream said, "It's okay. They're just looking in our eyes." And what I understood was that the stars were a language.
Chills.
I know, it was so crazy. And so when I'm looking at the stars, they're telling me like, this is our language, the star language. And I was like, oh, and the dream was like, I woke up at peace. I was happy. I wasn't scared at all. I didn't feel like alien abducted. But I had two friends with their kids that had the same night.
Whoa. You know?
I know. So the star tribes are nothing to fear, you know, nothing to be intimidated by. It's more like this childlike wonder, you know, is my experience anyways.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a whole show on the Lyrians, the Syrians, the Pleiadians coming up for sure. But yeah, and how we've all come in. But I don't think it's exactly like Hollywood makes it out to be either. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like aliens, like they abduct our cows and take our bodies at night, that kind of thing. It's a little bit more multidimensional.
Pesticides.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, I mean, they do very much exist, and they do, you know, step in kind of as needed with humanity, I think, but it's not exactly like Hollywood portrays it as much as it is multidimensionalism and stuff. So we are going to take another break. I am Adrian. You're on with My Wild Magic and Tiffany Harlett, my lovely, awesome, multidimensional galactic guest. And we'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
While standing in line to pay for lunch, I heard a young man say to the lady next to him, "It's okay, I'll pay for you." I assumed they were together, but in the ensuing conversation, it became clear that they didn't know each other. The young man said, "I try to do something for someone else every day. Today, you're it." He smiled. So did the lady. So did I. So did everyone who heard. This is a great example of Mahatmyam, having a great soul. This greatness of soul is infectious. It spreads. That young man's action delighted everyone there. That lady has a story to share with her friends and family. I'm now sharing it with you. Random acts of kindness are incredibly powerful. It's the power of a great soul, Mahatmyam. Join me, Sara Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this greatness together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Hey, welcome back. I am Adrian Cobb, and you're listening to My Wild Magic with Adrian. If you want to check out any of the things that I offer in terms of vision quest sessions, all kinds of stuff, membership, you can go to mywildmagic.com. Again, that's mywildmagic.com. Today we have on our show Tiffany Harlech, and she is sharing with us her wisdom on astrology, book writing, beekeeping, and mediumship. So during the break, we were sort of talking a little bit, and I do have one question in terms of, I feel really strongly right now, because I'm in the middle of teaching this 21-day quest, and as we've been moving through it, it's so clear that we're really sitting in the energy of this new earth energy. It's a matter of just consciously making the shift of grounding into it. And since astrology affects our earth so much and all beings on the planet, how do you feel like astrology is affecting or cooperating with this new earth energy? Do you think there's going to be any big changes with astrology because we're in this new planetary consciousness, or what's your take on it?
Mm-hmm. There's so many angles for that. You know, to me, what we're working on is a consciousness shift, and to how we're seeing that now in 2021 has to do with the Saturn and Uranus squares. But before that, we had, Jupiter and Saturn move from a 200-year cycle in Earth signs into a 200-year cycle in air signs. And that day is when I shifted my business to be called the Collective, Wise Skies Collective, because there is such a shift in the collective. As far as the ascension timeline, this Saturn and Uranus that's happening three times this year, I'm describing them like gong crashes, right? We had them in February, we had them in June, we're having them again December 2021. And right now in October, they're coming really, really close again. So the first couple of weeks of October, you're going to feel that same sense of urgency, sense of volcanic eruption in order to change. But I know that it sounds like I'm droning on, but I'm going somewhere with it. So Saturn, you know, is very bordery and discipline-y and boundaries and hard lines and karma. And the grandfather energy, you know, Saturn is a long-term vision and very fixed, right? And Uranus is explosive and Einstein and crazy. And so when those two are squaring off, you see things in the news. You know, here in Texas in February, we had the big snowpocalypse. It was very detrimental to a lot of people. Then in June, we had a break in our energy grid, which was also very detrimental to a lot of people. And I'm not saying like, oh, doom and gloom. I'm just saying systems are breaking down, and that's part of this new earth energy. And so the it's like change before you have to is the Jack Welch quote I'm using for all of this. And so as part of this new earth energy, this ascension timeline, things do have to break down before there's that sense of peace and understanding and stability. And so we're in a very special time to be alive right now, you know, this moment, this year, this breath of new insights. And so I love how you talk about it, because I think that it's so much more grounding coming from you. The way that I see the astrology is a little bit more bubbly, right? Like explosive. Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. So Uranus is changing Taurus things, our food system, the ways that we farm, the ways that we eat, the ways that we buy stuff, the ways that we do community eating together.
That's why we all need to have a beehive on our property.
That's exactly right. And then Saturn in Aquarius, the sign of the collective, the sign of freedoms, and the feeling that some freedoms are being removed, and the feeling that, I guess looking at what is it that you want to feel free from is a big exercise. So I feel like all of this is leading up to a larger shift happening in 2027. And so I feel like we're in still of this like crescendo buildup period. But it's, if you think about it like a painting or a weaving, I don't think that there's going to be like one day when things are different, right? Like we're leaning into it, and it's a big, heavy lean in. It's like a Clydesdale lean in, you know what I mean? Yeah. So does that answer your question or not at all?
Yeah. So basically we are shifting and moving, and that the way it's affecting the ascension timeline and this new earth energy, which I would highly, highly, highly recommend everybody that when they do focus on grounding their energy, that you start grounding it into the new earth energy. Normally I just say, I'm sending my tube of white light all the way down to the earth. Now I say, I'm pulling down that source energy. I'm sending it to the core of the earth, but to the new earth energy. And then I draw that new earth energy up to my body. And it's a big difference. And I'm finding that I feel like I'm a little bit, I'm not hanging on and hear is distracted or disturbed with a lot of the old earth energy, a lot of the breakdowns that you're talking that do have to happen when we move into a new collective consciousness, being this Aquarian age type energy. So I find it's bringing me a lot of peace to just ground to the new earth and make that shift. And so just being aware that, yeah, stuff is going to change. But one thing that brings me so much positive vibes is that the Gen Zs and the millennials and all these star beings who have been coming onto the planet have so many new technologies that they're going to help automatically clean up things in the earth and bring in new infrastructures and new energies. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I have hope in that for sure. So with our October astrology, then, is there more to it that you want to share October wise? Sure. Yeah.
Well, besides those big gong crashes that we're talking about that are part of this larger pattern, that shouldn't surprise us. We should be like, okay, we saw that coming. Interesting. You know, get curious. Isn't that curious? Instead of, oh my God, big, huge human reaction, right? Just stay curious. It will be a good medicine to kind of ride the waves of October. In October, we have four planets that are going direct that have been appear retrograde to us here on Earth. And so that's a huge shift when four planets go direct. Both Venus and Mars are changing signs. To be like more lighthearted, I would say Venus is moving into Sagittarius. And so that's kind of a fun one because Venus represents what we love, sometimes our money, our finances, our net worth, our self-worth. But Venus is that beautiful nature of things. And so when she moves into Sagittarius, right, it's like she's out of her black hoodie of Scorpio and she's into her like party gown of Sagittarius. You know, Sagittarius wants to learn foreign languages, wants to learn foreign cultures, wants to cook from a different culture's kitchen, you know? And so I just say that that's like a kind of like a let your heart roam wherever it wants to roam, learn something, enjoy learning about life, you know, enjoy the adventure. Mm. So that's a big shift too. Yeah.
And then, we got a few minutes. So you said also that Mars is moving?
Mars is going to move into Scorpio at the end of October. So it will be a very intense Halloween season, I should say. So Scorpio is naturally ruled by both Mars and Pluto. Scorpio is also the phoenix rising, but you've got to go through the ashes. You've got to go through the fire to get that transformation, that enlightenment, that sense of that higher vision that Scorpio is capable of, the eagle. That Scorpio is also represented by the eagle and the condor. So when Mars, this planet that fuels us, that's yang energy, that's warrior, spiritual warrior energy.
Rules Aries, right?
Rules Aries, but it also co-rules Scorpio.
Yeah.
Scorpio is co-ruled by Mars and Pluto.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that like warrior spirit, that pioneer, that one that's ready to go, that's got the gas in the tank, is moving into Scorpio, that very intense sign, you know? And so to me, because I'm into it, I like that energy.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a great time to get a good mystery book. I think it's a great time to dive into the unknown. It's a great time to study something behind the scenes.
Sitting around. Absolutely not. I just bought a whole bunch of rain gear. I'm like, let's get out in the world. Let's like get something going on. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. We got to go find some new entertainment out here in the world. Yeah.
Right. And I know. And so, yeah, both of those, because so Venus and Mars, a lot of people like to talk about love and money in terms of astrology. When are my relationships going to improve? When are my finances going to improve? Am I on purpose? Am I doing the thing I'm supposed to be doing? And Mars and Scorpio will help you find that sense of purpose, will help you find a higher vision, will help you tap into your why. So those are things to be looking for. Mars energizes and Scorpio changes.
Well, so as we kind of wrap up our lovely time together, Tiffany is offering a calendar through wiseguyscollective.com/shop, and you can get 50% off the 2021 calendar.
2022 is half off with your code for your audience.
Magic 50. So if you go to her website, which is wiseskiescollective.com/shop, you can go get 50% off the calendar, Magic 50. Yeah. Okay. And then you can also book sessions with her for mediumship. You can get an astrology reading with her at Wise Skies Collective as well, or talk to her about doing her, doing a book with her at spellboundpublishers.com. Did I miss anything?
No, I really appreciate it. I'm really honored to talk with you. And
yeah,
and
likewise. Have to have you back on. So, okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. And we will see everybody next week. Thanks for tuning in to My Wild Magic with me, your host, Adrienne Cobb. Each one of us has a soul purpose on this earth and a higher purpose full of creative expression and unique soul attributes. Make sure to tune in next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue your journey home to your truest self and pursue the path of unconditional self-love. If you would like to learn more about me, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.